Yo, all
right,
yo,
we are on. What up, man? What up? I feel like I'm in a daze.
Chilling. Why?
I've been doing set changes and all sorts of stuff, man. Mm-hmm. I'm all over the place right now.
Yeah, man. So you had your first Twitch performance.
I did. Life from My Living Room is the name of the show. Mm-hmm. It's on Twitch. twitch.tv/treklifemusic for those of y'all who want to check it out.
And yeah, featuring course, Young Trek.
Featuring Young Trek. Yeah, my daughter is the new Puffy. She's all up in the videos.
She was dope.
But mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, it was something to appreciate. It's fun. But it was the first time doing it, so it was like the amount of work. It's like the first time we did Rap Sucks Radio. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. you know, moving stuff around and plugging stuff in that you don't even know if you need or not. And,
right.
But right. It'll be simplified shortly, and I'll be knocking it out.
And you're going to be doing it every Saturday evening?
Every Saturday evening at 6:30 Pacific.
Okay.
Pacific Standard Time. I always, you know, do you know people that say specific instead of Pacific? Have you ever heard anybody say that?
I've heard people say Pacific instead of specific.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try not to be one of those people. But but it's not that hard actually either. But yeah. Anyhow. So yeah. Life from My Living Room is the show. Like I said, twitch.tv/treklifemusic. We're Rap Sucks Radio post about it, you know what I'm saying, and hopefully mm-hmm. you guys catch it. It was actually pretty fun to do.
Dope.
So that's yeah, what's up?
I enjoyed it.
Did you really? Good, man.
I did.
Good.
I did. We were eating though, so I was kind of in and out, but
right. That's fine.
And I didn't log in, so I couldn't talk trash.
That's probably a better thing. That's probably a good thing. It probably helped me out quite a bit to not have you talking trash.
I know. When I saw that you were actually keeping an eye on the comments, I was sad.
Well, I have to make sure, and I had Sarai kind of moderating the show, but I had to make sure the sound was okay. And the only way you know is by the chat. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Yeah, I kind of watch it and kind of, you know, you try to interact or what have you. Like when we were doing the in here tripping editions, you know, you want to interact because it just kind of keeps people involved or whatever. So that's what's
up. But that was easy. There was only two people watching that.
Shout out to my sister and my brother. Let's see, there were three regulars. There was my sister Sharon, my bro Rome,
mm-hmm.
and
Big Shug
actually was a regular, and Jeff, whose name is Jeff.
He was yes,
regular. Yeah. Yeah,
the Boston fan.
Bob, yeah, Jeff, the Boston fan. Yeah, terrible, terrible fan. But you know, he was in the place though. So yeah.
Yep.
Opening question, dude.
Yes, sir.
I have been preface. I have been called out for drinking trash beer. My beer of choice now is Bud Light because it's easy on the stomach and you can drink it all day.
Okay.
Are you in the same boat as me, or are you drinking quality beer?
I go back and forth.
Do you? What is your high quality beer? So if it's
oh, I don't know about high quality.
Okay,
but
what would be your high quality?
I like. I mean, I enjoy Modelo.
Okay. Okay.
So you know, nice. Maybe a Stella from time to time. Okay. You know,
I haven't had a step up beer in quite a while. Just so you know. It has been literally all what I call trash beer. So cheers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's all good.
And that being said,
hey man, nobody's watching. You're just at home drinking by yourself,
right? I didn't. You know what?
There's no judgment.
I actually let people know that I was drinking trash beer. Like I could have just been quiet about it actually. So there's that. Yo, man, thank y'all for tuning in. Crack a can of Old Head Energy. We will see you on the other side. Let's go.
Yep.
Rap Sucks Radio. Blah, 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 blah.
up, y'all? You alive on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Trek Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
What up?
Yo, thank y'all for tuning in. You can catch this episode, any of our past episodes, at rapsucksradio.com or any of your favorite podcasting platforms. And do not forget to remember. I've always kind of wanted to say something corny like that. Do not forget to remember.
So you succeeded.
I did. I succeeded. If you have a Roku or an Amazon Fire Stick or Fire TV, please download BTSN Pass. That is B as in boy, T as in Tom, S as in snake, N as in Nancy. BTSN Pass. That channel will allow you to watch me and your boy, Kev, your fam Kev Sakota, live on TV. We are live. We in your living room. We in the building.
Well, not live, but...
Well, yeah, not live. But
it will seem like live.
It does seem like live. For you, it's live. Because you can't interact with us anyway. So it's like it's live. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So yeah, jump in, kick it with us, man. We on, man. Mama, I'm going to get on this TV, mama. What's up?
But last week I made a joke about that involved BTS. I am scared now.
Why?
Because they are tearing people up. The K-pop stands.
Are they really? What?
Yeah, man. Well, they you know, the numbers are so massive that there was a police department. I can't remember where. I think it might have been somewhere in Florida. But anyway, they tweeted out to use a hashtag, I believe, to identify protesters.
Okay.
And the idea was to help them monitor things and keep, you know, the protesters under control.
Okay.
So all these K-pop fans started using the hashtag and just posting their little fan videos of performances. So it just flooded.
I love it, man. I love it.
It's a beautiful thing.
I love it. I know that a lot of people think it's fleeting. I know that maybe it won't last. I'm aware of all of these things, but the solidarity right now is through the roof.
Yeah.
You know?
And then there are also the outliers.
I was going to say, with the exception of who is normally like this. That's the key. That's the one thing. So, of course, who's this week's doing too much? Well, Candace Owens doing too much.
Too much.
Candace Owens, usual. I call her an antagonist. Some people call her conservative, and that may be true. That is true, right? I don't call her out of her name. I don't deny her access to the black community. That's not something I can do. But I do believe she's an antagonist, and she shows up in the very worst moments to make sure that she particularly berates black people for whatever movement we decide or whatever decision as a community, majority community, we decide to make. And this time around, she says, and I quote, why is she doing too much? Well, she says, I do not support George Floyd and the media depiction of him as a martyr for black America. I titled this, nah, sis. Nah. Knock it off. Mm-mm. That should have been the title. My source for this is the Daily Wire, although you can actually
You really
watch.
Went there with that one.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you're not gonna get a left leaning perspective from that one.
No. And you know, I did that on purpose. I wanted to.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I wanted to really hear her view. I'll get to that part in a minute as we discuss it. But players involved in this are Candace Owens. She's not on her own with this, but you know, whatever. So here's the description. In an explosive 18-minute video posted on YouTube last Thursday, conservative commentator Candace Owens, I did spell her name right, there you go, explains why she does not support George Floyd and the media depiction of him as a martyr for black America. Owens repeatedly stresses that by highlighting Floyd's criminal record, which is what she basically did, she is not attempting to justify former officer Derek Chauvin's actions, which she thoroughly condemns after she is, or rather, she is arguing that Floyd should not be held up as some form of martyr or role model for the black community. The desire to post this message, per Owens, she says, has been weighing, quote, has been weighing very heavily on my heart and on my mind, she says. But she held back because there are, quote, so many emotions and so much pressure for me to go with the popular opinion about who George Floyd was. And sometimes it can be difficult when there were just so many external pressures to say what you believe. And this was an instance where I felt like my silence would have been better in the beginning. Would have been better in the beginning. Okay. Kev.
She has not. She left her silence a long time ago.
Yeah, she did.
Her and her silence have not been acquainted for quite a number of years, from what I could tell.
They have not. They have not.
And also, her little teeny tiny heart and mind can't bear any heavy weight, so cut it out.
That is. Where is this pressure coming from? Was there a who? Like, are you okay? Is there? Did we need? Like, what happened? It just seems a little more like, was it you in the mirror? Like, oh my God, it's so much pressure to speak. And then the mirror spoke back and said, you know, like a Disney mirror. Like, you are right. The fairest of them all. Like, you know what I'm saying?
The pressured.
Like, I don't understand.
It wasn't the most of the people of color, let alone black people, who she was seemingly attacking. Although that's not who she was talking to. We'll get to that. Right.
Right.
It wasn't the black conservative movement, which is not insignificant, but which also largely denounced her just a few weeks ago when she was talking trash about Ahmaud Arbery.
Right. Right.
So she's not exactly out of the penalty box for that, I would assume.
Nope.
Yet.
Not yet.
So yeah, where'd that pressure come from?
The
pressure came from her trying to figure out how she was going to secure the bag by attacking this.
How do
subject.
I become relevant again? How do I, you know, what have you? And her, it's paid off for her a little bit. Mike Pence invited her to the White House to discuss racial issues, which, okay. Yeah. The person that likely agrees with you is.
I think that's. I don't know if I believe that. I don't think Mike Pence is allowed to call women.
That was a genuine laugh. You might be right about that. No, look. Her stance, and again, I've asked people to correct me on this on my Instagram, but her stance seems to be that, in quotes, that the black community has martyred Mr. Floyd and held him as a hero. My argument is very simple. There are no heroes or martyrs in this story. He did not go out that day with a cause. A martyr dies for a cause. Right. So, no, he's not a martyr for the black community by definition. And as intelligent as she likes to speak, as much intellectual value as she likes to speak with, I would think that she would know the definition of martyr. As far as hero goes, that is a terrifying sentiment. That in order to be held as a hero, you have to die for the black community, right? However, if we'd like to travel down that road, a few prominent black heroes would be probably the most major discussed black hero. You can figure out what sliding scale you want to put any of these people on, but Martin Luther King, who was murdered. Another prominent black hero would be Malcolm X, who was murdered. Huey Newton, who was murdered. If we want to talk about heroes in the black community that are exalted a lot higher than George Floyd, they actually were murdered as well. So, and not all by law enforcement, of course, but two of them were under FBI surveillance when they were murdered. And yeah, it's a bit trash. So that's my beginning statement. You know, that's my opening. That's my opening point about this.
Okay.
We can continue the discussion even further, but that's where I start. By definition, he's not a martyr.
Right.
And by definition, he's actually not really ever being held as a hero. Like, if her argument, I'm sorry, Kev, but her argument was, we shouldn't be buying t-shirts. Do people buy t-shirts of everything? It's not like, give me the sales numbers on these t-shirts. Are they just flying off the H&M shelves? You know, we know H&M likes to steal. So are there these George Floyd t-shirts that are everywhere? I don't understand. Where is this merchandise being sold by the volume? I don't even see
people probably being sold out of the back of her car.
Right? Yeah. So.
Trash beer.
Mm-hmm. Cheers. The same.
Yeah. No, she sounds like a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think she probably has a certain amount of intellectual capacity.
Sure.
At the end of the day. But her arguments are like she's like a human non sequitur. That's why I hesitate to break down what she's saying in a sensible way.
Right.
Because, she's that person that you get in an argument with and you allow yourself to stay in the argument longer than you should.
Right.
Just because they kind of sound like they're trying to make sense when they're not.
Yeah. And her backstory is pretty interesting for the position that she's taking.
That's
right?
The thing. I didn't know about any of that.
No, I didn't either. But it popped up on my feed and I was like, I had no clue. So I started, you know, hit the Google and was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. You are real big tripping.
Yeah, so what, 5 years ago she was making fun of Trump's joint?
Yeah.
The size of his...
Yeah, just 5 years ago. Now, if that's to be believed, she's going to be in the White House talking to the vice president because she felt pressure to, you know, continue or find some relevance again.
Maybe it's just a cover and she's really going to do the expose.
Right. Well, I
bring it full circle.
People like her and Jason Whitlock, to me, there's no sincerity in the conversation, right? Like a lot of times they talk about black on black crime and how black people don't stand up to it or people of color don't stand up to black on black crime. And I'm thinking, I just wrote one down. Mothers in Charge has been around for years. The Stop the Violence movement that happened in hip-hop, that was years ago. There are like dozens of organizations that are standing for inner city violence that are attempting to help and change. I myself have been to neighborhood takebacks. I've DJed at them. I've performed at them. I performed at the Watts Festival for most of my career. By and large, the part of the Watts Festival movement at that time was Stop the Violence, Stop Neighborhood Violence. It's odd to make these claims but not support or discuss these organizations. It just seems like you're attempting to be an antagonist. You know what I'm saying? Because if I was truly trying to make that argument, I would at the very least say people aren't supporting these organizations. But they don't even know these organizations exist. They don't even speak to them. So you don't even know what the community is doing about you know, black on black crime or what have you, or inner city violence, you know?
And I feel like she's also, you know, disingenuous in that she's leaning on the legacy of some black conservatives, whether or not you agree with their politics, who actually do participate in those kind of efforts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, who have a number of different varying views on different things. But it's this circular logic that she presents every time she speaks that, and you know, and if you start to counter one point, she'll start shouting and just jump to a number of different points. But it's similar. It's just like the conversation you might have with someone who thinks that all lives matter is okay to say.
Right, right.
You can pin them into a corner because they're stupid, but, you know, they'll wriggle out of it because they're not trying to hear it. You know, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like to me, this video, she's like, it's funny that Pence invited her to the White House because the way when he speaks and he has that sort of somber tone and tries to be very earnest and self-righteous, that's how she sounded, in that she wasn't screaming or anything like that.
Yep.
She's, you know, very heartfelt or whatever. But this video was for, like I started to say earlier, this video was not to convince anyone who either believes in the cause of that the protesters are marching for, or who does think of George Floyd as a hero. You know, again, whoever those people are, they're not, she's not speaking to them. She's not trying to speak to them.
Not at all. Not at all.
She's speaking to white folks who want to hear somebody with dark skin say these things.
And that's exactly what's happening, by the way.
Yeah. And you know, it's like, and these are not, and I'm not talking about, what am I trying to say? These are, she's talking to people who say things like, not to be racist, but, and then they say some racist stuff.
Right.
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 So we're already talking about people who are kind of lost. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In terms of this whole conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, but you see people post it and then the comments are just like, it's like, oh my God, you sent us to this site and I'm reading the comments like, good Lord, man.
Yeah. But
and you see a bunch of white folks saying, I love this girl. I'm like,
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were 30 years old, as a 30 year old woman, what would you think if someone called you girl? Hey, girl.
We'll see that. I think one of the things that's really funny about that, and I think, I'll ask you in just a moment if you want to, if you want to move on to a separate topic, but to respond to this on our show, I mean, we've already covered it well enough, but listen, excessive force and police brutality against Black Americans is high and at a ridiculous rate. And you are only seeing or hearing about the things that have happened on camera recently. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It doesn't matter if the person's a doctor, a lawyer, a quote unquote important person, or the lowest of the low, and oh my God, he was this or whatever. The police are not there to play judge, jury, and executioner right there on the street.
Exactly.
That is the answer to all of this. There is no, whatever she's doing is a performance. Like, miss me with that. My hand is in the camera. Miss me with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's, no, I totally agree. And the thing about it is that, and most people understand this, is we don't have to, one, if you want to talk trash about the past history of a dead man,
right,
who just got murdered,
right,
that's on you.
That is on you.
You look like a jerk just doing that, regardless of who he is. And no, most people did not know the man. We got to know a lot more about him for a reason that nobody wanted to.
Nobody wanted to.
You know, yeah. I'd rather have never met the guy, or never known about the guy, just simply because then maybe he still would have been breathing.
That would be perfect.
So there's no one asking for your insight into this. You know, there's no one who needs that input from you, or needs you to drag this man through the coals, you know, over the coals after he's dead.
And
everyone more or less understands that this act, which was not as much about him as it was about the cop who did this to him, or the institution that allowed this to happen, was the match, right? Like you talked about last week, right?
Yeah.
It's like if someone's, you know, bugging you or just, you know, calling you little racist names or being cute with you or talking about your family or whatever, at some point, if you lose it, you're going to sock them in the mouth, right?
Yep.
It doesn't make your fist the hero. In fact, your fist is probably the thing that's going to get you in jail.
Right.
So it's probably not a good thing. Nothing about it was good.
Right.
But you know why it happened. Not only do you know why it happened, whether or not it was a good idea, but the person who just got socked in the face knows why it happened.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So let's not be cute about it with a, you know, somber, earnest looking face and earnest sounding voice. It's like she's running game. She was running this liberal left leaning website and marketing agency or whatever in 2015, and she came out, quote unquote, is a conservative in 2017.
Yep.
She said, I became a conservative overnight. I realized that liberals were actually the racists. All right. Whatever, but how long is it going to last? I mean, she's to me, she's playing like three-card Monty with white guilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and who knows, you know, it's only so long before they're going to, you know, flip the table over and chase her down and put her in the hospital.
Right. Well, yeah, and it'll be the Kanye thing, right? Like her and Jason Whitlock and to some degree or to a slightly lesser degree Kanye, like they play these games and you play them at horrible times. It's a Kardashian's move on a political level. You know what I'm saying?
Easy. Take it easy.
When the focus and everything is on something. I do have a question to ask you though.
Okay.
We have another topic set up.
Yeah.
Would you like to forego that topic to talk about Qbert?
Oh. Your dealer's choice.
All right. I'm gonna talk about it. If it's my choice, I'm gonna take the choice to talk about it.
Okay. Let's do it.
So, and for those of you guys who don't know, DJ Qbert basically is being just ended up on the total opposite side of this, on the Candace Owens level side of this, but in a different fashion. He's fashioned all of this as a conspiracy, false flag type situation, and he also it was strongly All Lives Matter.
Right.
A lot of DJ community has gotten at him about it. I think Mark Love handled this better than anyone could have, and I really appreciate how Mark Love went about this. But I want your thoughts, Kev. Like, what was your response when seeing... Because I actually don't really know the dude. I've met him. Have you ever met him before? Like, do you know him?
No. Well, I've met him, but I don't know him. Like, you know, that's the great... First of all, we should probably mention, because there were people in the threads that we were reading that were like, who?
Oh, okay, so yeah.
This guy is one of the foremost... he's one of the most well-known DJs mm-hmm. in the world,
yes.
He's definitely like a pioneer in terms of scratching, yes, and scratch technique. He's a Bay Area dude.
Yep.
But
Invisible Scratch Pickles.
Just like... Yeah, yes, exactly. And you know, most DJs who you know, value the skill of actual DJing and in scratching really look up to him,
yes,
and have learned a lot from him. So he's always been kind of a hero in the DJ community. But he's also a little bit of a weirdo, I think.
Right.
So I think at first I kind of felt like at first, and we've had a couple friends who, and I'm not gonna put anyone on blast, but who kind of said that he's always been on a little bit of that, you know, he's just kind of on weird stuff sometimes, like aliens and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he caught everybody kind of off guard on, like, dude, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And then, yeah, Mark reached out to him a couple times, right? But I think a couple people did, like, just on the check-in.
Yeah, just to see what's like, up.
Like, did you get hacked?
Yeah. So here's my thing, and this is gonna be real. It's gonna sound so passive, but it's not though. Like, it's not gonna end passively. One, with respect to Mark Love and other people reaching out to him, look, if I have a friend, a person that I know, a colleague, you know what I'm saying, that is saying off-brand, off-kilter things, I'm gonna reach out to them before I respond. You know what I'm saying? I thought KRS-One got bashed for that with Ben Bada, probably a little too ridiculously, in my opinion, because he did what you should do, in my opinion. Reach out. Yo, what's going on? Is this true?
Right.
What's popping? I know you. I'm not a fan. I know who you are. I've spent time with you. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to rush to judgment. And Mark, you know, asked him to take things down, and I guess Qbert ultimately responded emotionally in the end. I mean, he did what Mark asked initially, but then I think the pressure just got to him, and he's going to continue his stance, which I think is a terrible stance, a stupid stance, an idiotic stance. And the backpedaling and then returning to your stance just shows that you're full of it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one thing to evolve or whatever, you know. But and to be clear, I know you already said it, but he had posted this video that we were talking about, the Candace Owens video, saying that she should be president. And yeah, he was talking about, I think, and I missed a lot of it, but there were three things. The other thing was the conspiracy theory that the whole murder was staged somehow.
Yep. I've seen a couple.
And then, yes, using the hashtag All Lives Matter, and then claiming that he didn't know that it was, he didn't understand the connotations of it, nor that it was being used as sort of a counter to Black Lives Matter. You know, which this, I mean.
How do you not know that, Kev?
Dude. You know what? It when Ferguson happened and the movement started to take steam, there were people saying that, and I genuinely believe that some of them thought they were being inclusive, I guess, is the most generous thing I could say.
Okay.
But I feel like a lot of those people were like, all right, I get it. We're being jerks.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And yeah, so in 2020, to still stick to that so tough, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty incredible, you know.
Yeah, it's just flat out whack. like there's really no way around it. I had an excellent conversation, or I don't want to say conversation. I called in Dumbfounded and Kev from Far East Movement. They have yep. a show. They were talking about Asian and Black community issues and why it's important, in their opinion, for Asians to stand up for Black Lives Matter, and they were discussing the difficulties with that within their audience, right? And I think a lot of that conversation, a part of that conversation, was Qbert. I didn't feel like it was my place to question and or not question, but to speak too deeply on Qbert. You know what I'm saying? I disagree with his stance. I don't know the dude. And at the end of the day, he what part of his backpedaling was being aware that he's making a living off of an invention of a Black male. You know what I'm saying? So you know, to varying degrees, but he's making a living off of Black music, right? So
right.
He was aware of that,
which is by the way, a very important aspect of this whole conversation.
It is
that we should have really mentioned earlier. But yeah,
it is. But I thought their conversation was excellent. It was so excellent that I like called into the show and talked to them or whatever, which is not something I would normally do.
long time, first time,
yeah, first time listener, first time caller, but. First of all, him and Candace, they're entitled to their opinions. I just think that their opinions are in his case, it didn't seem to be as antagonizing as Candace Owens. Candace Owens is deliberately antagonizing. You see what I'm saying? She is a person who knows better but speaks foolish. He seems to be a little bit of a mixture of both, right?
Yeah, and she's the vector, though.
Yeah.
To put it in terms that everyone now understands.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and he's caught the bug.
Yeah, he might win. He got to hold the full on L. Matter of fact, let's see, where is it at?
You big dummy.
He got to catch that. She got to catch that.
you big dummy.
And also, to triple up on that, she gets the
Karen,
because that's what she's acting like right now as well. You know what I'm saying? We got to get these in there real quick. So,
oh man, people are so angry about the Karen.
Are they really? Is this a battle? Is the Karen battle still happening? Well, I feel like in the midst of all of this, the thing that I'm noticing, right, is that there was a community of people that either were quiet about this. We're going to get to Karen in a second, but quiet about Black Lives Matter after Ferguson, or opposed to the idea of it, right? But since Ferguson, people were questioning the character of Mike Brown, but then Tamir Rice came up and Sandra Bland came up and you know, you skip all the way ahead to George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, and the list just kept going on and on and on. And I think finally people were like, okay, Black Lives Matter. Like, I'm out here in the suburbs in a city. I don't live in Walnut, but I took my daughter to the protest that happened near Mount Sac Junior College, and eventually the population took over of like 50% black folks were out there, but it was everybody out there. And I don't think that they would have been out there at the start of this. And I think that that's the part where Candace Owens is, and people like her are trying to take a bite out of the apple. Because it's one thing if only black people were doing this, then Candace Owens is like, eh, whatever. Like, I'll say something, but it'll be you know, fun. But now she sees that white people are listening, or, you know, other people of color are listening. Now it's like, oh, wait, you guys are down? I got to get a piece of this, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't think the dynamic is anything new under the sun. It's the internet era, you know?
Right. Right.
So the ability to learn things is great and to see what's going on, even if you don't live in Minneapolis or Los Angeles or, you know, anywhere else that these atrocities have happened, but you can learn about them, and then you learn about them so quickly, and you hear about them so quickly that you start to be able to put together just mentally this timeline of how crazy it is.
Yeah.
That this is happening.
Yeah.
Every single week.
Yeah.
You know? And by the same token, that same technology allows the Candace Owens of the world to run their hustle.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm going to put it on the topic board for next week to discuss, like, net neutrality, because they're actually trying to take that away, right? And we should probably really discuss that, because I think now more than ever it shows you how important that battle is, as well as all the other battles that have been spoken of. And it, you know, I'm glad there are, you know, it's one of those things where it's ups and downs, but I'm glad that people are willing to take on this fight, just like I'm glad people were willing to take on the women's rights fight. And I'm hoping that people are willing to take on the fight for dividing families at the border and putting kids and people in cages. I'm hoping that these fights continue and that people get tired, and you at home anyway at this point, so you might as well fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There will always be Candace Owens's.
There will. There will. And we will shut them down informationally.
Don't let them fool you.
Don't let them fool you. Yeah, she totally missed the mark. Yo, I think this is our time, actually, Kev. So we got two topics still on the board to hold out on. One of those topics, if you guys want to tune in next week, we're going to talk about three young men who tried to become Spider-Man officially. And a person who...
He did the work.
Yeah. And a person who, you know, kind of a weird adoption issue. So that's all on deck for next week. But thank you guys for tuning in. This has been Rap Sucks Radio. I am your homeboy, Track Life, and that is your fam, Kev Sakota.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
We appreciate y'all tuning in, dealing with this old head energy. Please check us out on rapsucksradio.com or any of your other favorite podcasting platforms. That's Stitcher, that's Apple, that's Google Podcasts, that's Spotify. We on there. We on all of those. With the exception of Pandora for some odd reason. And if you would like to see the episode and see some of the, you know, images of the topics that we discussed, etc., I actually think it's an excellent idea for you to download BTSN Pass on your Roku, your Amazon Fire Stick, or your Amazon Fire TV. I keep saying Amazon because I'm old, because I could literally just say Fire Stick or Fire TV and that would be fine. Go ahead and jump on that. And RSR Podcast on Facebook is where we, and Rap Sucks Radio on Twitter and Twitch, and not Twitch, I'm sorry, Twitter and Instagram. A lot of shit to say. So anyway, and
you're doing great.
Yeah, I'm doing the most. I'm doing way much. Anyway, we out of here. Like last year, and on the count of three, we say peace. 1, 2, 3.
Peace.
Thank y'all for tuning
in. Drink cheap beer.
Trash beer. We out.
Trash beer.
You big dummy.
Peace.